Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. It's become the national obsession. Are you anxious about Brexit? Or to quote the legend Catherine Tate, am I bothered? Am I bothered? Well, I think most of us are bothered, and we live in a very polarised nation. When we talk about Brexit, do we talk about what a Christian perspective might be, or do we just stick to our arguments? Why might all this talk about Brexit matter from a Christian perspective? One way or the other, Brexit touches something deep inside all of us, something fundamental to our sense of well-being and peace. It touches on what kind of society we want, how we treat each other, and how we live our lives based on our Christian faith. And I'm going to look at three aspects of Brexit where we can offer a Christian perspective. Power and control, the creating and sharing of wealth, and dealing with conflict. So who has control of government? Who decides the law? Us or them? The current Conservative government sees the EU as threatening UK sovereignty and wants to take back control. Even if leaving has a price, it's worth paying to regain control. Remainers argue that membership of the EU, while not perfect, has seen our prosperity grow. In a globalised world, it's a fantasy to think that the UK can take back control by leaving the EU, because no one has control. Both sides are playing on deep-seated fears that we all have. Fear of losing control of our lives, and fear of change and the unknown. So what is the Christian response to power and government in the Brexit debate? St. Paul exhorts us in our epistle reading this morning to pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. This is good. Archbishop Welby takes up the same message. We must pray for our politicians. He says that they have the most extraordinarily difficult job, and instead of being cynical, we need to pray as he does for them every day. And this is a real practical thing that we can all do, to pray for our politicians and thanksgiving for our political system. But we are also citizens of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. Even if Christians do not have a united perspective on earthly sovereignty, we can unite as Christians in recognizing the kingdom of God as a fundamental tenet of our faith. Jesus teaches us that the core characteristic of God's kingdom is love, not fear or control over others. People living under God's rule respond to evil by loving their enemy, forgiving them, and seeking peace. The greatest in God's kingdom are the least in an earthly kingdom. God is sovereign for both Christian Remainers and Leavers, and we need to demonstrate loving behaviour to people, even when they hold different views to ours on Brexit, by listening respectfully and not making unflattering and unnecessary judgments about them. And what a difference that could make if we as Christians demonstrated love and respect towards those with whom we don't agree. So how does Brexit affect the creating and the sharing of wealth? We hear completely different views on whether Brexit will make the country richer or poorer. As time goes on, we've become sceptical of what any political party says or any think tank reports. On an individual level, some people fear they will lose money if we leave the EU. Others fear they will lose money if we stay in the EU. But at least these people have money and they have choices. But what about those who don't have money? We know we have a huge problem with income inequality in the UK. One of the deciding factors that emerged during the referendum campaign was the enormous dissatisfaction from those who felt left behind by the London-centric economy, particularly from those living in the north of England. They felt they were being given fewer economic opportunities than those of us in the south, and they blamed the EU and the UK governments. And as Sarah said in a recent sermon, the referendum campaign made us listen to other voices. These voices always existed, but we hadn't heard them. So what is the Christian response to creating and the sharing of wealth in Brexit Britain? Well, first of all, God wants all people to prosper, not just the few. He has given us talents and skills to use for our benefit and for the benefit of others. There are dangers in amassing wealth, and Jesus frequently preaches against storing up riches on earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But what about those who are not prospering? If we are content to abandon those who feel left behind, who struggle to get food or shelter, to access social care, to register to vote, and a whole raft of other consequences of income inequality, we are all diminished. We become a lesser society for having abandoned them. For the Archbishop of Canterbury, the question is about how the poor and the vulnerable are affected by Brexit, because they are close to the heart of God in Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." How we care for the poor and vulnerable is a deeply moral issue. So what difference can we make as Christians? In our own way and in our own spheres of influence, we need to care what the effects of Brexit are on those who are not prospering, however they may have voted. We need to press the parliamentary candidates in this election on what they propose to do for those who are suffering in other parts of the country and in our own backyard. In short, we need to promote the well-being and the interests of those in need whom we may not know, but who are close to the heart of God. And finally, how do we deal with conflict and hatred that has fallen out from Brexit? Disagreeing is nothing new. It seems to be a speciality of the human race. But how we have been disagreeing in these last few years of Brexit has been nothing less than a national disgrace. One MP killed in broad daylight. Constant stream of abuse to MPs, particularly female MPs and those of ethnic minority origin. A week ago, one female MP received 600 threats of rape on one night. The result is that many MPs are not standing for re-election because the cost to their family and to their lives is too great. Nelson Mandela, who knew a thing or two about conflict, said, "Our experience has taught us that with goodwill, a negotiated solution can be found for even the most profound problems." So where is the goodwill in the Brexit situation? And what is the Christian perspective? Our reading from the Acts of Apostles this morning is a hideous example of bitter and violent disagreeing. Gentiles and Jews unite against Paul and Barnabas to the point of plotting violence against them. Paul and Barnabas learn about the plot and they flee, but they never stop preaching the gospel. Paul's perseverance amidst dangers and hardships is amazing evidence of grace. So how are we doing in the midst of all this conflict? Are we showing grace and compassion to those who disagree with us on Brexit? It's only through showing that radical loving kindness for our neighbours, Brexiteers and Remainers, that we can help to heal our differences. We have a real opportunity as Christian communities to be bridge builders. In humility, we know that we see the world only in part. We may even have to entertain the thought we may have got it wrong. So let's note the words in James's epistle. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So put away all moral filth and excess of evil, and receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So there we have it. What we can do to make a difference to Brexit. We can pray with thanksgiving. We can show loving behaviour to those with different views. We can listen respectfully and non-judgmentally. We can promote the well-being of those in need, wherever they live in our country, and whether they agree with our position on Brexit or not. We need to show grace and compassion and humility. I didn't start off preparing for this sermon with any preconceptions, and in the event, I have found it very challenging. I feel personally challenged by my own conclusions. I have spent the last 3 years enjoying many discussions and many debates about Brexit. My fundamental position hasn't changed, but my arguments are pretty good now and pretty refined. But I don't know that that's going to help anything or help the debate. I hope that with prayer, I may fully embrace a change of heart and behaviour towards the whole Brexit debate. Because if we don't start with ourselves, where do we start?